fellow Freedom fans. David Allen Carmichael here on My Faith in Freedom show on the Eagle 104.3 FM for the Liberty Works Radio Network. I have a recording that I did prior to this show, and I got a call from a pastor who was asking about registering his new church with the government. What was the biblical take? What was the legal take? And, of course, we're going to view these issues of the day on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. So, hey, let me get right to it. Here it is.
Religion is what we are obligated to God for. That's above mm-hmm. the Constitution.
Yes.
In fact, we formed the Constitution of Virginia and the United States because of our duty toward Almighty God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mechanism for us to love our neighbor outside the jurisdiction of the church. Now, also, Phil, if you want to review this, if you go into Section 57 of the Virginia Code, 57-1 is beautiful. Just read it. I'm not even going to tell you about it. You have to go there, and you can go online.
Okay, I will.
Okay, but look in there, and I can't think of which one it is particularly. If you go to 57-16, it talks about if a religious body or organization owns property, it's going to be in the name of the principal ecclesiastical officer. In other words, since they don't have jurisdiction over what the church does, they got to come up with some mechanism when there's property that the church owns. So they've got these rules on how the government's supposed to deal with this extra constitutional jurisdiction, the church. But you're going to see in there that there's a provision about having jurisdiction in the courts with regard to somebody who's being sued. Like, say a preacher is being sued. If you'll read the laws of Virginia in Section 57, it points to this principle that shows that the civil government has no jurisdiction in the church unless the church opts into it, unless the church volunteers. And you'll see in there's a statute in the code that says that if two people want to sue each other over a church matter, both parties have to go and to render jurisdiction to the court. If one person wants to sue a preacher for his behavior as a preacher, the preacher has to agree to the appearance. He actually has to agree to lend the jurisdiction to the court, or the court mm-hmm. has no mm-hmm. authority to interfere. Now, as soon as your church applies if a lawyer's out there and wants to disagree with me, because this is the David Allen Carmichael version of actually reading the law and understanding it. And,
okay,
I'd love it if a lawyer would talk to me about this. But so far they've affirmed this, is that if a church now incorporates, that is now a state body. It is now under the jurisdiction of the government, the civil
yes.
government of Virginia.
Yes, sir.
I personally would never have a church incorporated, because they now are not under the pure, absolute jurisdiction of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're mm-hmm. under a civil body politic. They're under Caesar. So that would be my advice.
Uh-huh.
What were you thinking on that? Is there something I didn't make clear?
Yes, I definitely don't mind saying I agree with you on that. Also, and even in reference to the other part of the question was tax-exempt status. A church, if I can elaborate more, and please correct me, a church going to the IRS asking to be a church.
Well, Phil, I'm going to go there too. We
okay.
hear the word exemption. Exemption is something, and you can look up in American jurisprudence and read about exemptions. And
mm-hmm.
exemptions are things that they lend in a discretionary manner.
Uh-huh.
But there's a term called accepted. And you're going to see this here and there in the IRS code and other laws, and Title 26 would be the U.S. IRS code. But you're going to see the term accepted, not exemption, but they are accepted from it. There's a statute, I think it's 26, Title 26, Section 3408, but you can look
mm-hmm.
that up. And it talks about when you are a minister of the gospel, how those wages, the pay is not considered wages because of your true status, not because you've gotten permission. It's because your true status as a minister of the gospel. They're not subject to United States law. It's not subject to the orders of the Secretary of the United States. You haven't raised your right hand and given an oath. Your allegiance is to Jesus Christ. Now, what I'd like you to do is encourage you to read not Section 501, but read Section 508. But actually,
yes,
read.
I'm familiar with that. Okay, I will.
Okay, but read 501A. And read 501C, and also read 518. Now, I'm not going to give anybody some tax advice, but what I can do is tell you to go look at those terms, and you're going to see a difference. It has to do with the nature. Is if I am not in a certain jurisdiction, I am immune from the laws of Great Britain, except for those things that the U.S. has a treaty in, and I'm actually opted into that U.S. program. But just in general, if the Queen of England declares something to be so, I'm immune from it because I'm in a different jurisdiction. I'm in a different kingdom. If you are operating in the church, in the body of Christ, you're immune. So you don't need a tax exemption. They actually have no authority to come and tax. Now watch this. This is the scary part and the kind of thing that I get just concerned about when the church is engaging in commerce under the guise of a religious hat.
Okay.
And there's churches that do that, and whether they, you know, go in as 501c3 or whatever, or they're just not registering at all and they're just living like a church. But as soon as they start engaging in commerce and justifying in their head, well, we can do this, we can get away with that, la, 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 the IRS, if you go far enough back in the U.S. code, I've actually read it, I don't have it memorized, but there's a place where somebody who's just a church, says they're a church, is actually engaging in commerce, would be under the Commerce Clause of the Constitution, then the IRS is supposed to go to the United States Attorney General, bring up a claim and have enough evidence to show that, hey, these people are making believe they're a church, but they're really a business that's under our scrutiny. Then the Attorney General can actually bring suit in a court because they are quasi-churches and they're not really under the kingdom of God. They're really playing the kingdom of commerce. So so I'd say whatever you do, make it true. You know, whatever is not of faith is sin. That's a universal principle that goes beyond just dietary issues. Is that we are, our conscience has to be right before Almighty God. And if it is, if what we are doing is right, it's lawful. And if it isn't, there's a problem. And we may need to have to stand doing something is right that somebody tells us is unlawful, that is illegal, and stand and suffer through it to get it fixed for the sake of our neighbor whom we love. Anything else, Phil?
Yes, if I can, real quick, and I don't definitely don't want to tax the time. In a church organizing itself, especially in our nation, how would it be best for it to do that? You know, okay, having the convictions of not incorporating because it's not a commerce business, not filing for a 501c3 status. Are there any ecclesia corporations that churches could be identified as a church? And not be scrutinized or in dealing with different, if it's businesses or organizations or civil government.
Okay, Phil, I'm going to interrupt you there. What I'm going to do is stick around. I think we can keep you on the phone. And I'm going to get information from you. And I'm actually going to put you in touch with people who can answer that question because now you're getting into a legal question. So let me go ahead and close up the show here. We've got about 2 minutes. And so just hang on there, Phil. And actually, Phil, I'm going to send you my book, Faith, the Final Frontier. And so we'll get that information from you if you just hold on. Now, folks, I hope you enjoyed that because I had to just really shoot from the hip there. And you think, who is this guy? He's got the title 57-1 and 2 memorized. It's crazy, isn't it? Well, you know what? I'm excited about law because what I found out was when I had to read American jurisprudence that if I'd already read the Bible, and I started getting into a topic on American jurisprudence, I could predict what it was going to say because it was sort of based on right and wrong.
Hey, Eagle 104.3 FM listeners, I am David Allen Carmichael. That you were hearing was from a show that I did. It was a kickoff show. It was a debut show that I was broadcasting in Virginia, and it was right after 4th of July, and that was the kind of response we were getting from people, having interesting and tough questions about the issues of the day. And that was a pastor who was asking me about these laws that relate to churches and things like that. Since then, there was a gentleman named Gerald Finney. He is not paying me to say this, but I've read his book, and it's talking specifically about that issue. There's a subtitle here, Separation of Church and State, the Biblical Principles, and the American Application. The name of the book is God Betrayed. God Betrayed. So if you're a pastor and you wonder about these things, he's got a wonderful treatise here on the whole topic. And he's a lawyer, by the way. And he goes into depth, great depth on the law and also the Bible. It's very exciting. It's very heady. It's very, you got to be kind of a scholar, you know, the way you approach this thing. It's huge as far as it's 423 pages plus an appendix and it's single spaced for the most part. So it's a pretty thick book. but it's good because it's reference. It's really getting in and explaining things, from a biblical worldview and a big biblical approach and a constitutional approach and a history of law approach. And this again is by Gerald Finney. And I'm just getting ready to write this down because I'm going to give his email address. And you can get his book, and it's got he gave one to me for free. So how would you like a guy who's got a book? And let me tell you, it's a good book. It's fabulous. It's printed in the USA by Faith Baptist Church Publications, Fort Pierce, Florida. It's the website for the bookstore at the Fort Faith Baptist Church Publications is www.fbcpublications.com. fbcpublications.com. And his name is Gerald Finney. You could probably type his name up, Gerald Finney. His email is gerald.finney, gerald.finney, at sbcglobal.net, gerald.finney@sbcglobal.net. And the book is God Betrayed, Separation of Church and State, The Biblical Principles of the American Application by Gerald Finney. It's really good stuff. This is something where I think it's important for people to know. If you know the principles, again, you'll know the law. You don't necessarily have to read American jurisprudence to know what the law is. Just understand these principles. And there was a situation recently where a lady contacted me about my wife who's been taking photographs. And I won't tell you the name that she's been operating this photograph thing with that we've been operating under, but it relates to my wife's character. When you think about certain people and you say, well, there's this person over there, oh, they go barefoot every time. There's certain characteristics, some things that people do that you associate with. And we came up with this name that fit my wife. Well, it turns out that some lady had done the same thing in some other state. And she did a trademark registration. The problem is she came up with a name. I won't tell you what it is. I don't want to bring that up on the air. But that other people around the nation have been using, and one guy in California has been using that name for 50 years. But she runs out and she goes, oh, nobody's trademarked it. Let me go out and trademark it. She thinks she owns these terms because she trademarked it. She doesn't understand justice. She doesn't understand truth. She has no property right to the term. In fact, if anybody has a property right, this guy's been using it for 50 years out in California. But what happened is she has this misunderstanding of what the law is, what the U.S. Government's role is, what the trademark laws are, what that principle of the Constitution. She didn't realize that all your trademark thing does is give you a prima facie evidence that the federal court has jurisdiction if you've got a claim. But if you don't really have a property right to that name, you don't have a claim, trademark registration or not. You actually have to prove that you have some property right and that your property right has been intruded upon. And your property right stands alone. It's not the trademark registration that gives you a property right. So that's weird kind of stuff. So if you don't really understand these things, you know, some of the stuff, you just go up and you read 501c3 stuff and you start fulfilling the requirements. That's because they put 508 that may really apply to you. And if you read 508, you realize you have no requirements. You know why you have no requirements? Not because of a flippant Congress who just felt like giving you a break. It's because they have no authority to give you a requirement. If you're really operating as the church, remember, it's a separate jurisdiction. They have no authority to require certain things from you. And that's just it. You just have to understand what it is. So don't just rashly start. In fact, somebody tells you something, check it out. Check out the reference. Okay, you're listening to the Eagle 104.3 FM, Faith and Freedom Show here, David Allen Carmichael. We'll be back with this Liberty Works Radio Network adventure on the Eagle 104.3 FM. Our number here is 888-850-1872.